You are listening to CKMS News on 102.7 FM, Radio Waterloo. I'm Dan Keller, and this show first aired January 14th, 2026. A new tool for assessing how levels of various services differ between neighborhoods across Waterloo Region has launched by the 1 Million Neighbors WR Coalition. The first version of its Neighborhood Services Map ranks each neighborhood for access levels based on availability of transit, amount of green space, number of schools, libraries, and healthcare infrastructure, and how many community spaces exist. A key feature of the map is that the calculations account for population, and as the number of residents that call Waterloo Region home grows to over 1 million in the coming decades, keeping track of the equity of resource distribution across communities as they grow will be key to understanding a neighborhood's needs. This show features an interview with KW local Sam Nabby, the project coordinator of 1 Million Neighbors WR, and a board member of Hold the Line WR. The map was created with open source data by Civic Tech WR volunteers who will update the data on the map at least annually. You can access the map from Connected KW's webpage, connectedkw.ca. Now for the interview.
My name is Sam Nabby. I'm a project coordinator for 1 Million Neighbors Waterloo Region.
Could you let listeners know a little bit about this project, 1 Million Neighbors? Like, what's the goal of the project and what do you want people to take away?
1 Million Neighbors started in 2024, and we're a coalition of nonprofits and community groups and neighborhood associations. And we spent the last couple of years really putting together a vision document for growth in the region. I don't know if you've noticed this, but a lot of discussions have been circling in the last few years about this idea of 1 million and Waterloo Region growing to a million people. So the region itself, the government has come out with some strategies around that and what they want to focus on. The business community has put out a few press releases about what 1 million means to them and what kind of investments they want to see. And so 1 Million Neighbors is really about that community voice and that nonprofit voice in the conversation of growth. So as service organizations, I mean, we're really pulling together a big tent. We're pulling together people working on labor, education, food security, environmental protection, youth programming. The list goes on, and that the whole point was to try and create a really big tent for this vision. And what came out of that was a lot of similarities. I think there's a lot that we have in common and that different groups across different sectors don't get the chance to work together on very often. So that's what the whole 1 Million Neighbors project is about, is finding the commonalities and how we can solve problems together across different silos.
How is that going to happen through the analysis of the data in this map?
So the map is our second publication, I'll say. The first one that we published back in 2025 was a vision document. And if people go on our website, 1millionneighbors.ca, you can read all those vision statements about how an ideal growth scenario would look for the region. We envision neighborhoods that are vibrant, that have lots of opportunity, that people have transportation options, where kids can walk to school, where there's, you know, translation and interpretation support for people who speak different languages, all sorts of stuff. And to distill that into a progress tracker is how we came up with the map idea. So we wanted a tool to help us track our progress towards that vision. What are some of the things that we can count and measure as we go through the years and figure out, are we achieving this vision? Are we getting closer to what we actually want as a community? And so this map is starting off with a few main categories that came up again and again in our roundtable discussions. We're talking about schools, libraries, community centers, green space. All of these spaces are physical assets in neighborhoods that are not just for one thing. They get used by many different organizations, and they have such value. Not just, you know, for example, a park is an environmental asset, yes, but then it's also for recreation. It's also for mental health. It's also for food if you have a community garden in there. And so we see these as resources that have multiple solutions.
How did you make the measurements or get the data for the comparisons and the different categories we see on the map?
Yeah, there's two data sources really feeding this map. The first is Statistics Canada census information, and that's how we get the neighborhood boundaries as well. So the boundaries are set by StatsCan, and I know that they might look a little wonky in some places, but that was sort of the most consistent way that we could measure what we're trying to measure. And then the data points within those neighborhoods are pulled from OpenStreetMap. So there's a global open source community of people mapping everything you can map, parks, doctor's offices, schools. And so we're taking those and counting them per capita so that we know if you have more population in a neighborhood, you should have more parks than another neighborhood that has less people. That's the basic underlying assumption. And then we do our rankings based on that.
And it's all broken down by established neighborhoods in the city.
Yeah, the neighborhood blocks, which are the boundaries of those, are set by Stats Canada, but they work out to groups of about 5,000 to 30,000 people. So, yeah, you'll see downtown Kitchener has one or two neighborhoods here. Uptown Waterloo is defined as a neighborhood, the University District. When you get into newer suburban areas like Southwest Kitchener, you'll see that neighborhood's a lot larger. But again, those are called the aggregate dissemination areas from the census. And what that's going to do is when we get our next census this year, we'll be able to feed the updated data easily into the map and it'll all be compatible.
As the map is being developed or being used more, are you thinking of adding more categories?
Yeah, we are thinking of adding more categories. We started with this first list of six because those were the ones that came up most often among different nonprofit groups that are operating in different areas. So if we add more, it would all be with an eye to, these should be things that have multiple benefits. These shouldn't just be one-off assets. But what we want to do before we add more is to refine our analysis of the current assets that we're mapping. So, if we take community spaces, for example, we're mapping how many community centers, service clubs, nonprofit, open house type areas, faith communities, those are all counted as community spaces, but it's just one per location. What we'd like to do next is to actually rank those based on how many hours of programming they offer. So that would mean going into the program schedule for the community centers and seeing, okay, is there actually services being offered here? Similarly, with something like transit, right now we're just mapping one point for every bus stop. We could improve that by saying maybe more credit is given if the bus comes every 10 minutes versus every half an hour. So things like that is going to be how we improve the map in the next step.
If people want to take part in the project at all or add to the map, how do they do that?
Yeah, this is a volunteer effort. Like I said, it's a coalition of many organizations in this region. We invite people to get involved. Even if you want to learn more for your own neighborhood purposes, we'd love to come in and do visioning workshops or mapping sessions. So people can go to 1millionneighbors.ca, and there you'll find a couple ways to get involved. You can subscribe to our newsletter, you can join our WhatsApp group. Or email us to volunteer. And there's, yeah, opportunity if people are into the research side of things. Also, if you're into neighborhood organizing and you want to use this data to do some real change in your neighborhood, that's really where we want to go with this. And we hope to bring a coalition of organizations that can help make real change happen.
Tell me about Connected KW and how this fits into that project and how some of the groups you work with, Hold the Line, for instance, fits into this project.
Hold the Line is an organization that I'm also part of as a board member and director, and we focus on preserving the countryside line and environmental protections and groundwater protection. Hold the Line is one member of 1 Million Neighbors alongside a bunch of other organizations. Separately, there's a group called Civic Tech Waterloo Region, which is a group of volunteers who do software development and data, computer science work for the community. And they're the ones who actually developed this map for us. So the map lives on their website, which is Connected KW, but that's a partnership between 1 Million Neighbors and Civic Tech Waterloo Region.
And finally, there's been a lot of discussion recently, and I know this fits in a lot with the Hold the Line group you're a part of, but we've recently learned that the supply of quality water is being constrained, let's say, in Waterloo Region. And as we're sitting at 650,000 people and we're running out of water, how do we grow to a million, and how does that fit in with this map and the work that you're doing?
Growing within our natural boundaries is a core value for me personally and for 1 million neighbors as a whole. So the water capacity issue is very shocking. It's a crisis that arrived with very little notice. And from my understanding, there's four or five different issues that have stacked on top of each other to make this a crisis right now. But I believe that we can get back to a place where our water infrastructure is doing what it should and sustaining the growth that we can expect. With that, we have choices to make about how we grow. If we keep growing with sustainable infill projects, if we grow inside existing urban areas, that's going to create less of an effect on the ability of our groundwater wells to recharge. If we sprawl outwards, if we build a new industrial zone in Wilmot, then that's going to make it harder to sustain our needs. And we're at the point in growth with this region where we have to make trade-offs. I don't think it's possible for us to do this mega industrial project in Wilmot and keep planning for the type of residential growth that we were. So these are real choices we have to make. What this map can do, and what our hope is as an advocacy tool, is that it will show us how growth is distributed equitably throughout the region. Just because people are moving to an area doesn't mean that the investment in services and amenities is necessarily going to be there when they move in. And that's something that we're trying to track here as well. We owe it to all of our neighbors that when they move to the region, that it's a real neighborhood, that they have places they can go, and that they're not in a brand new development in the middle of a field with no streetlights and sidewalks and community spaces. So sometimes it takes 5 or 10 years for those services to catch up, and that's a pattern that I hope we can do better on in the future.
Wrapping up, Sam Nabi added,
just want to encourage people to get involved if they're interested in this stuff. We have a lot of different people that have contributed to 1 million neighbors, both on the policy level, on the mapping data side of things. But one thing we haven't talked about is stories. And that's what a really exciting piece of this whole project is. As part of our vision document last year, we commissioned a speculative fiction author, local writer Ariel Kroon, to write a futuristic story about what this community would look like when we reach 1 million people. And it's a beautiful vision of a high school student who is making her way through the world, and I won't spoil the details, but if you want a bit of a different angle on what growth could look like, definitely go to our website and read that short story.
That was an interview with KW Local Sam Nabi, the project coordinator of 1 Million Neighbors, WR. To access and explore the 1 Million Neighbors Neighborhood Services map, visit connectedkw.com/1-million-neighbors. This is Dan Keller for CKMS News on 102.7 FM Radio Waterloo. Thank you for tuning in. This program is part of the Local Journalism Initiative and is funded by the Community Radio Fund of Canada, Heritage Canada, and the CKMS Newsroom. Check out the archived versions of this program on radiowaterloo.ca/news and listen to all the LJI content at frequencynews.ca. If you want to get in touch with comments or ideas about stories to cover, email us at news@radiowaterloo.ca.